Thank you, Mr. Romeyer. We appreciate everybody's patience. We'll call the meeting to order, please. Nancy, could we have a roll call?
Mr. Bombs? Mr. Cockamo? Councilmember Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Hawley? Absent, Mr. Jasko?
Here.
Mr. Kropinski?
Here.
Ms. Majewski?
Here.
Dr. Zuzalak?
Here.
Mr. Curtis? Mr. Burt? Ms. Walter?
Here.
Vice Chair Neff?
Here.
Chair McColtrich?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you very much. Pursuant to Section 5 of the Open Public Meetings Act, this meeting has been duly advertised in accordance with law by publication in the official newspapers of the borough and by posting at Borough Hall by the borough clerk as part of the annual notice. This meeting is a quasi-judicial proceeding. Any comments or questions must be limited to issues that are relevant to what the board may legally consider in reaching a decision. Decorum appropriate to a judicial hearing must be maintained at all times. Stand now for a sign of prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, at this time, we will open the floor for public comment for items that are not on tonight's agenda. Doug, do we have any hands raised in Zoom?
Zero attendees and zero hands.
Thank you very much. All right, seeing none, moving on to pending litigation.
Mr. Chairman, I'm pleased to advise that there is none.
Always wonderful news. Next item is other business. The first thing I would like to bring up before we get to the off-site meeting discussion is the next meeting is July 6th. July 6th also happens to fall on the same night as the Fireman's Fair. So I know a lot of us volunteer at the fair and seeing, you know, tonight we're missing a few, so Nancy will send out a blast, you know, either tomorrow or Monday, reminding everybody. But you know, as soon as you know, if you know that you are not going to attend that meeting, just so we can secure a quorum, if you could let her know, I'd appreciate it.
Do we know if we have pending applications? I mean, I know we will after some action tonight, but do we have applications slated for that night?
Okay, I do.
Potentially.
Okay.
The other item for discussion is an off-site meeting location for the application PB 2302.
Mr. Chairman, yes, if I can just address that on two aspects. That application has a number of variances and waivers associated with it, as well as a number of comments that have been raised by CME in the reviews as to traffic impacts and potential parking impacts, things of that nature. So first of all, there's a possibility that may generate sufficient public interest that this room won't be sufficient to accommodate it. My recommendation is to have the administrator, first of all, to schedule the meeting for your July meeting, and in the interim have the administrator look for an alternative site that could accommodate a larger crowd for August, so that base is covered. Because we're on virtual now, there may be a lot of people interested, but they're just going to tune in as opposed to show up. So we can take the July meeting. If it's overcrowded, we'll have to, and they're out into the hallway, and we're going to have to carry it to August at another location that will accommodate it. If July comes and the room is not full, then we can proceed and move forward. So my suggestion is to schedule for July, ask the administrator to arrange for an alternative in the event that we have overcrowding for August. If we don't, we'll just continue here in August. If not, we'll announce that it's going to go to another venue.
Yeah, I think that's sensible. It gives Mr. Farragina, should give Mr. Farragina anyway, plenty of time to look into that for us.
I'm a little concerned about scheduling the first hearing for that application on the night of a fireman's fair. If there's going to be, and for those who might not be aware of what TB 2302 is, it's 160 First Avenue. It's any of us who were participants in the 158 First Avenue application, I think there's going to be significant public interest, if not more public interest than there was in that application. And so to schedule it on the night of the fair may not be the best for our residents. You might be interested in that.
The only concern that I'm going to raise there is that since we have a time frame within which we're required to act.
Yeah, yeah, no, understood.
We've got till the September meeting.
Got it.
So if we had it on for July, had to carry because of the interest to August in a different venue, we would at least have August and September before we're up against it to make a decision.
Got it.
Would establishing a separate standalone meeting for this application, for the first hearing of this application, maybe the following week, be something that we are able to do?
That's possible. That's up to the board.
Does anybody have any input on that?
The week after this next, like a separate meeting?
Yeah. Which is a hassle, you know, I mean,
it's extra.
But at the same time, if we're able to do it, it might be the better option. Because as it is, like, you know, I mean, that's why I brought up the whole idea of making sure that we're going to have at least a quorum.
Sure.
And I would want to think that, you know, as many of us as possible. I mean, I can understand if you're going on vacation or something like that, and there's a reason you can't be here and you need to listen to the tapes. So be it. But,
well, if you want to check in the interim, I mean, the applicant hasn't been given a date to notice for as yet. So if you want to take the next couple of days and pan the board for whatever availability is for a special meeting the following week, you could do that, and then we could simply notify the applicant, here's where you're going to start.
Are we limited to Thursdays?
No.
No.
No, in fact,
we're limited on the availability of this room.
Yes.
No.
But as we
I'll be here on the 6th, but I'll be available when we get there.
Right.
So I'm happy to.
But if we're considering alternate locations, one possible alternate location would be the movie theater.
Yeah.
We had the Mother Teresa redevelopment plan public hearing there. It's really good with audiovisual, obviously. We could get a really good sound system so that people can hear. Again, anyone who participated in the 158 or the Denholz meetings knows the challenge of being in the gym with sound, with visual, and so the theater. And unless, I don't know their summer hours, but at least the theater is closed for movies on Mondays and Tuesdays. They're available for special events on those other days. So Mondays and Tuesdays might be possible.
All right, so we'll include that in our message to Ms. Farragina about, you know, maybe that, he's, I mean, I'm sure he's already aware that that might be an option, but
is there a cost associated with that?
My guess is yes.
There is.
Yes, I would think so.
And then July 13th, which is the Thursday following our regular scheduled meeting, it may or council meeting.
Yeah. All right. And also, you know, we're missing quite a few board members tonight anyway who should be involved in this discussion. So maybe what we'll do is tomorrow morning we'll send in an email to everybody that's here or not here, detailing what, you know, we're considering. And in the meantime, I will reach out to the borough tomorrow to find out what the availability of this room is that during that week. We know Thursdays is off, but I don't know.
Do we know, is the applicant ready? So they haven't noticed anything?
They have not noticed, no.
So, but have they
us that they're ready and why come
July? They've been deemed complete, and they were notified of that, I guess, a couple of weeks ago.
So they should be ready for the July meeting then?
Yes, they should be.
Yeah, I mean, we're going through all this, and we know if the applicant even wants it in July.
Well, he's...
Once they've been deemed complete, we have a gun to our heads.
Right.
We have to move the application.
The application's on the clock now, so we do...
If they want to say, oh, no, we want to adjourn it, fine, give us an extension.
Okay.
Because it's your request. If we're going to accommodate you, you have to accommodate us. Mm-hmm. And grant an extension for a time to act.
Yeah, because we're on the clock, that's the reason that I don't want to just automatically move to the August meeting, because who knows what's going to happen between now and August anyway. So the sooner we can get this application off the ground, I think the better, with the most board members present.
It's going to be time consuming. So.
It's going to be time consuming, that's for sure.
They did submit the additional escrow and application fee.
They did? Okay. Okay.
What about any necessary traffic special?
That's the next issue.
I was waiting for that.
The CME report has identified a number of variances in design standard waivers. One of those variances is a D variance, we have in the past had concerns. As you note, that the board should be proactive in terms of obtaining your own experts in certain areas. With respect to the variance issues, you have a planner that you appointed in January on an as-needed basis, Tom Thomas. So you may want to engage, authorize his engagement now to get him up to speed on this thing. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, as I noted previously, there's a lot of comments in your engineers' reports about traffic and how traffic is going to be evaluated, accommodated, parking, how that's going to be evaluated, accommodated, and I think it would be appropriate for the board to bring a traffic engineer on board. I spoke with Doug about that, and I think he has someone on staff that could provide that.
I would just need anticipated meeting date
as
possible to try to
lock
that up.
Right. So personally, I would advocate for both.
Me too.
I'd advocate for the engineer and for an independent traffic study done as well.
Mm-hmm. So I would recommend a vote of the board to move forward with that at this point, and then we will contact those individuals and get them on board so that we're not slowing down the process and coming into the next meeting saying, oh, gee, now we need our own consultants. They should be there ready.
Can we do that, yay or nay? Do we need a proper roll call for that?
I'd like a roll call.
Okay.
Just to clarify one thing first, Mr. Chairman, you mentioned independent study. So the most recent ordinance modifications that we have here discuss it would be the applicant's responsibility to post additional escrow for traffic consultants if the board deems necessary. So I want to make sure I understand what the board is going to vote on. Is it performing an independent standalone study that counts, or
I misspoke.
Okay.
Yeah.
My suggestion would be to engage these professionals first to review the application and what's been submitted by the applicant. And then to the extent that they think additional investigation is required, for them to then do what they think they need to do in order to give you the advice as to whether what you've received is accurate or whether it's not accurate, and if not, why.
Mm-hmm. What does that do, Doug, to the timing of the proceeding? Would if your colleague were to review their materials and deem it requiring additional information, how much extra time are we talking about?
Fortunately, the technical review that my office produced, I shot that to many professionals under our roof, right? I sent it to our landscape architect department for landscape and lighting comments. I sent it to our traffic engineers for their comments. So, as Mr. Seib indicated, there are several pages of traffic comments are already in there from my traffic experts. So I think the benefit would be to have them here to cross-examine and discuss methodology on the collection and be able to offer additional opinions on the fly. If it evolves to a point where additional study would have to be complete, we'd have to look at that. That would require adjournment and have to perform that study if necessary or deemed appropriate. So fortunately, no real impact to timing at this point.
So were those extra escrow fees already in?
No, we're just discussing it now, so they would have to be informed that.
Do they need time to agree to those extra fees, or for next week's meeting?
It's not their option to agree. There's a fee that's they're going to be told, if you want to be ready to go, you have to post your fees, your escrows.
Anybody else want to weigh in before we move to a vote? Okay, Nancy, we'll take a vote on this.
Councilmember Dougherty?
Yes.
Oh, wait, do we have a motion? Or do we need a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second to make it official?
Yeah, I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. It's a roll call.
Okay. Councilmember Dougherty?
Still yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
And Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Vice Chair Dev?
Yes.
Chair McGoldrick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much. All right, any other business before we move on? Need a motion to adjourn the workshop meeting?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Who was first? I'm sorry, the motion?
Neff.
Okay. And Ms. Majewski or the doctor? Okay.
Majewski.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
7:18. All right, moving on to our regular meeting. Call to order. And roll call, please.
Mr. Bonds, still absent. Mr. Cacamo, still absent. Councilmember Dougherty.
Here.
Mr. Hawley. Mr. Jasko.
Here.
Mr. Kropinski.
Here.
Mr. Majewski.
Here.
Dr. Zuzulak.
Here.
Mr. Curtis. Still absent. Mr. Berth, still absent. Ms. Walter?
Yes.
Vice Chair Ness?
Here.
Chair McGoldrick?
Here.
We have a quorum.
Next item is the approval of the April 6, 2023 minutes. We have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Second, Jasko.
Thank you. Councilmember Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak?
Yes.
Ms. Walter?
Abstain.
And Vice Chair, Chair McGoldrick?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the approval of the May 4th, 2023 minutes. Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve. Jasko.
Have a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzulak.
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the approval of the attorney's voucher for February 2023.
February
2023.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Kropinski, and who was the second? I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Thank you. Councilmember Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Mr. Kaczynski.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak.
Yes.
Ms. Walter.
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff.
Yes.
Chair Coldrick.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the approval of the attorney's voucher for March 2023. Do you have a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve, Jasko.
I'll second, Majewski.
Thank you. Councilmember Dougherty.
Yes.
Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Mr. Kaczynski.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak.
Yes.
Ms. Walter.
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff.
Yes.
Chair McColdrick.
Yes.
Motion passes.
Next item is the resolution PB22-23, Atlantic Highlands Yacht Club, Block 7, Lot 5.03, 6 Simon Lake Drive, minor site plan approval with conditions.
I make a motion to approve. Dougherty?
Second.
I don't think Mr. Dougherty voted on that.
I'm sorry?
I don't think Mr. Dougherty voted on that.
Did I not?
You came at 7:51.
I said to abstain. I'm sorry about that. He's right. You're right.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Thank you.
I can second.
Okay. Mr. Dougherty. Mr. Jasko.
Yes.
Mr. Kaminsky.
Yes.
Ms. Majewski.
Yes.
Dr. Zuzalak.
Yes.
We have 4 affirmative votes.
Next item is PB20-14, T3 LLC, Block 117, Lots 3, 4, and 5, 65 First Ave, application for extension.
Is there anyone here from the applicant as to that extension request? Mr. Chairman, no one is here from the applicant. I can note for the record that the board has received correspondence from the attorney for the applicant, as dated April 17, 2023, indicating that the applicant has been waiting for or has been experiencing delays in securing the consent approval from JCP&L to relocate existing utility poles, and they're requesting a 2-year extension of approval. The statute provides for 2 ways in which a board can extend an approval of this kind. The first one I don't think applies here because that applies in a situation where the applicant is prevented either directly or indirectly from being from getting an approval from another governmental agency. I don't think JCP&L is a governmental agency, and that section of the statute says you can't grant approval for more than 1 year. And the applicant is requesting 2 years. So it appears they're not asking under that section of the statute. They're asking under Section A, which is in general says that the board can consider up to 3 1-year approvals, or extensions, I should say, of the approval. And that's within the discretion of the board. And the things that the board looks at are why is the extension being requested? Has there been any change in the zoning that might impact the approval that was granted? Have there been any changes in the character of the neighborhood or area that might change the opinion as to whether or not the approval that was previously given is still valid and good, and the resolution that granted it still has the same affirmative basis for granting the approval. And then the question becomes, how long an approval do you want to grant? You can grant up to 3 1-year extensions. In this case, the applicant's approval, actually, the resolution was adopted on December 3rd of 2020, and that gave a 2-year approval period. So it expired December 3rd of 2022. So they're now if you approve an extension, the extension is retroactive to when the first one expired. So they've already lost 6 months. If you grant a 1-year approval, you're actually granting them an extra 6 months to get up to December of this year.
Right.
If you granted a 2-year approval, it would give them an extra 18 months to get them to December of 2024.
Without the applicant or representative for the applicant here, is this an up or down vote on the 2 years, or can we decide amongst ourselves that
I think the board can decide in its discretion as to what, if anything, it wants to grant.
Okay.
Or if the board wishes, the board can send a letter to the applicant's attorney and say, we think you ought to be here and explain yourself before we act on this. That's within the discretion as well.
Yeah. Like, I have a couple thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
So the resolution was adopted on
December 3rd, 2020.
Yeah, December of 2020, right? I would say at least three businesses that are in very close proximity to this application have expanded their operations, right? And that impacts foot traffic, that impacts parking. There's possibly more coming, right? In the letter that the applicant's lawyer wrote, he indicated that JCP&L is delayed in finding an appropriate location for a utility pole. And there's no more information. There was no copy of any communication with JCP&L,
right,
like letting us know what the problem is, what the circumstances are, why 2 years would be needed. But he did indicate, Mr. Kennedy, that the relocation of the utility pole will take place, and I quote, in the very near future. So, I mean, I think asking for a 2-year extension is extraordinary in this case, even in an application that would be, you know, much smaller in scope. You know, for a reason like the relocation of a utility pole. So those are my thoughts.
I'm a little curious as to why they, if their approval expired in December, nearly 7 months ago, why they waited until now to seek an extension. I mean, I would like to ask that question. So it sort of, I think it lends credence to Mr. McGoldrick's point that it would be good to have their attorney or the applicant here to explain.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I agree with all of those points wholeheartedly. And, you know, furthermore, this building's going to sit vacant for 2 more years downtown. I do have a real issue with that. You know, especially now when businesses aren't sitting vacant and they aren't sitting idly by. Pandemic's over, everybody's looking to get going. I do have a question. What happens if the extension is denied? Like, what happens to the whole application?
But that, at that point, they don't have the immunity from changes in the zoning that have occurred since the initial approval. The initial approval gives them immunity from zoning changes during that 2-year period.
Okay.
And then once that expires, if they haven't perfected basically and complied with all the conditions of approval, posted their bonds, etc., then if they don't get an extension, then they have to comply with whatever the existing regulations are at that point that have intervened in between.
Gotcha. Thank you.
I take issue with voting on this because of the lack of information. The letter does say that they're duly pursuing. However, many of us have worked in construction and engineering, and you coordinate with JCP&L, and they give you a day. It's a time frame, but it's a day. So the fact that you don't even have a time frame when this would be completed.
Yeah.
And there's nothing on the property.
Yeah, so that concerns me, you know, in addition to the lack of specific detail in the letter, and there's no one here for confirmation as to whether we should proceed. So I personally, I would have a difficult time approving any
there's just
extension.
Not enough.
There's not enough information. We're not seeing any correspondence between T3, the applicant, and JCP&L. And that in addition, you know, they did not execute due diligence in contacting the board prior to the end of their extension. So I feel they're remiss in this regard, and I would.
Yeah, one would think that if the applicant's attorney felt comfortable enough saying that this will be resolved in the very near future, that he would have some type of material indication from JCP&L giving them either a date, a hard date, or a range of dates when this will be completed.
Or at least a point of contact. There's a main point of contact that works in this area. There's a small link that goes down, and you know, I know who it is, but he's not worth it here.
So if that's the consensus of the board, if you want, I can correspond to Mr. Kennedy and advise that the board is not confident or comfortable with carrying or extending the application at this point, and you would like them to appear at the July meeting to make a presentation as to the basis for the request for extension and why they think you should be extending.
At this point, it's expired.
Right? Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, but under the statute, they can apply for the extension before or after. The statute explicitly says that you can apply before or after the expiration date. And then if you apply it after, that's why I said before, if you granted it, it gets retroactive back to the extension date. So they lose that 6 months. They don't get a year or 2 years from the resolution extending. They get a year or 2 years from the date of expiration.
Is there a date that might arrive where they cannot apply retroactively for an extension?
The statute doesn't say that.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I would say that if you're beyond 3 years, beyond December 3 of 22, you're done.
Right, right.
Because the best you can do is get 3 years, and you've already lost that.
Sure.
Now, will this require us to make a motion to deny and then follow that up with a letter to Mr. Kennedy letting him know?
No, you're not under that section of the statute. You don't have a requirement, a time period within which to approve or deny the request.
Okay.
So I think you just direct me, and I will send a letter to Mr. Kennedy and tell him that they've got to appear at the next meeting and make a presentation to support their request.
Were we all in agreement, or is it because anybody disagreed with that?
Just give them the extension and give them 6 months to produce, and then that's it. They get one more extension.
That crossed my mind earlier, but the fact that nobody's here,
yeah,
that we can't even ask like simple basic questions about this request. I mean,
yeah, fair. I mean, I agree. It's important that somebody should have been here.
Yeah. Given the nature of the application itself and the result, I mean, it was a 5-4 decision.
Yeah.
It was very close. It was there were concerns on this, and so I think, you know, if there are complications or if there's, we should hear about them.
And that part of town is evolving, but all of First Avenue is evolving quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't think that this is not, like I said, like if this was an application that was much smaller in scope, I still think a 2-year extension would be extraordinary. Mm-hmm. But given the particulars of this application, I mean, somebody should, you know, whether it's the applicant or representative for the applicant, Mr. Kennedy, somebody should be here, you know, to advocate for this request.
Mm-hmm.
I say no to the 2-year, definitely. I mean, that's my opinion. So you can show up at the next meeting or grant them the extension for the next year.
So say we can move forward with that and then see where we're at at the next meeting.
Okay. Okay. I will send a letter to Mr. Kennedy telling him to be here.
Thank you, Mr. Stott.
Mr. Chairman, before we move to the next application, the final application on the list after that, PB 22-12, Zlata Clancy, Block 61, Lot 4, 87 Memorial Parkway. That matter is being carried to the July 6th meeting. The there was a request from the neighbor's attorney for an adjournment to provide additional opportunity to prepare an opposition, and we actually received correspondence from the applicant's attorney today requesting that the matter be carried to the July meeting. Whether they communicated and agreed amongst themselves to that or not, that was not apparent in the correspondence. But in addition to that, we received the service packet today, and the publication was only 8 days ahead of the meeting instead of 10 that's required. So the board wouldn't have jurisdiction to hear the matter anyway. So I suggested if we carry to the July 6th meeting, the applicant will have to republish in the newspaper for that meeting, so that if anyone is here who received notice of that meeting, who is interested in the application, is not going to be heard this evening. It's being rescheduled for July 6th at 7 o'clock p.m. in this same room, and there will be no further notice by mail to you, but there will be a republication in the newspaper.
Thank you, Mr. Stein.
I think this adds to the need for the special meeting that we talked about.
Okay. Our next item is PB 22-24, Rush, Block 96, Lot 1, 56 Second Avenue, application for bulk and use variance.
Mr. Chairman, I've reviewed the service in connection with the application. The service is in order. The board does have jurisdiction to hear the case of the applicant here, and if so, please come forward. I'm also aware that the board has received the following exhibits in connection with the application. Exhibit A1 is a zoning review from your zoning officer, Michelle Clark. That's dated September 23, 2022. Exhibit A2 is an application of George Rush. That's dated November 29, 2022, with a narrative and checklist. Exhibit A3 are architectural elevation and floor plans prepared by Josso Studio. They're dated September 2, 2022. Exhibit A4 is a review number one from your engineer, CME Associates. That's dated September 22, 2022. Exhibit A5 is a survey prepared by Morgan Engineering and Surveying. That's dated August 29, 2016. It's revised October 4, 2016. And Exhibit A6 is technical review number 2 from CME Associates. That's dated March 16, 2023. Those are the exhibits I'm aware of in connection with the application. This application does involve a floor area ratio variance, so the Class 1 and 3 members of the board need to recuse themselves.
Mr. Doherty
has done so. That having been said, who is here on behalf of the applicant?
George Rush, owner.
Joseph.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Joseph Sofar, architect.
And let me swear you both in. Before we start, would you each raise and raise your right hand? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
All right, and starting with the applicant, your name and address for the record?
George Rush, 56 Second Avenue, Atlantic Islands, 07116.
Joseph Sofar, 10 Falcons Ridge Circle, Holmdel, New Jersey.
Can you, for the record, spell your last name for us?
Sofar.
Thank you. Have a seat. And who would like to kick off and tell the board about the application, what you're trying to accomplish, and why you think the board should grant the variance approval?
Okay. I can start off here, Mark.
Sure.
So what we're really looking to do here is bring our house up to the current expected living standard in Atlantic Highlands. Currently, we have a galley-style kitchen, which is not fitting with neighborhood or the structure itself. We do not have a primary suite in the house, which is, again, something we'd be expecting in that neighborhood. In addition, we do not have attic space at this time, so we would like to add a few feet of that as well. We don't foresee making any visual impact to the neighborhood outside of what the house already looks like. We are very acutely aware of the fact this is a historic home, and we'd like to keep the outward look in keeping with that. That's all I have to say on that. If you have any questions, or if you'd like to add.
Josh, I think you put it really well. We did some studies in the beginning looking at the site specifically.
Mr. Solfero, do you have credentials that you want to present to the board?
Sure. I'm a New Jersey licensed architect for the last 3 to 4 years. I've worked on over 200 homes and apartments here in New Jersey, as well as ground-up construction. Most of my work does find itself in these additions, as most lots here in New Jersey are already established. So I do a lot of surgical type work like this. And so specifically with COVID and things like that, various clients are looking for, who are spending a lot more time at home, are looking for an improved living space. And this project falls into a category such as that.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead.
Sure. So we looked at various studies of this. What you're seeing on the right-hand side is a one-story addition coming off the back. That's a sunroom type space to give them some more living room. When you look on the back left is the kitchen extension that George Scott was talking about earlier. On the second floor, that would be a master suite to expand their living space there and gain confidence in the market to try to really match the market. And when you look at it from a site perspective, we're basically taking the existing spaces from a very small, if you guys are familiar with historic homes, American historic homes, I think this might be 150 years old,
almost 200 year old.
It was actually down the street, they carried it up with horses, so it's very small, tight living quarters. And so in terms of trying to bring up the standard, we're basically trying to do an efficient extension off the back to do that. We find ourselves with a non-conforming condition on both street fronts. We're right up the street over here on Second and Mount. And so we're not doing anything in the front where there's an existing non-conforming condition with the actual two-story structure over the line, 20-foot setback in the front. And there's a bit of a covered porch that comes about 5-6 feet. We're not proposing anything change on that street front on Second. On Mount Ave, we are proposing what is triggering a variance to go back and follow the existing non-conforming condition on Mount towards the back. And an efficient means to make this structure match its historic presence in a sense. And it's only a single story structure on that side specifically, so it doesn't impact, create a strong visual impact from the side. There's an existing fence, there's existing trees over there, so it would be barely visible actually from the street. And then far across, which is the far corner, which is completely conforming in my understanding, is a two story structure, matching the same existing height as it is right now. So we're trying to minimize any of these variances that are being triggered by creating a very marketable and lavish home for themselves and a historic home.
Do you want to add anything to that, or are we ready to move on from that?
I fielded some questions. I will say it is triggering that use variance where it's going right over the FAR too. Mm-hmm. Those are the two big contentious ones to me that I see here as well. Trying to gain some more living space for them.
Gotcha. I would like to add at this point, I apologize for interrupting you. The visual impact of this entire addition will be minimal. You would have to be in the driveway to get the full impact of it. Or behind, but even behind, there are several trees which block the view. So that visual impact is really strictly limited to the East Mount side. And again, as Joe pointed out, it's a very slight impact and barely rise above the fence line.
If you look at sheet A0, you see a rear perspective of us trying to match the character. That's on the architectural plans, is the cover page. That's actually completely from the south, essentially south corner. So it's almost like you're in the back corner of the path, looking back. So you see that one-story structure, which is actually phase two of the construction, because we're phasing out costs in different logistics like that. And then phase one would be the two-story structure on the right. And on the right, you're seeing the kitchen on the first floor, which is an extension from the galley. And you don't even have a kitchen table or anything like that. Enough right now, and then the master suite would be extending over above. He's not looking to add any bedrooms, just extend the master.
Gotcha.
And you have no exhibits to put up or anything, right? There's nothing we can put up on the screen for this to look at.
It's the set of drawings. I'm referencing the set of drawings that have been.
Why don't I put that up for you?
That was sheet A0 on the Joe Sosa drawing.
I don't know what to say. It should have been on the cover page.
Could you let me do that presentation?
Pretty much what I'm going to do.
Sure.
Yeah, many times has a real arm.
It's not on the screen yet.
We're faking.
This is the existing.
This is.
I have more of these. Go the same.
Let me sit that down. Back with the chair, and we can chair down here. You can not look at that. Oh, you do? Okay, very good, very good.
Appreciate it.
Who are you? That's it? So this is, if you're in the back, south corner of Mount. And single-story addition right there with a patio. The two-story addition is on the right-hand side. Kitchen on the bottom, master on the top, extended attic above.
There's just a bump out, that's the addition. On the side going up to second story.
Yeah, so on the right-hand side, that's the two-story addition that we're proposing. Kitchen below, master suite above, extended attic above. And the one that has the dash line around it is a phase two proposed single story addition,
two story
for a static person who would be able to
match the. Can we go into the phases in the application? You have phase one and phase two. Just maybe talk about the timing a little bit and what you hope to accomplish in phase one, what you hope to accomplish in phase two, and maybe talk about you know, what each phase, like how that will impact the neighborhood.
Sure. So, in my understanding, all of the construction is going to be accessed from 2nd Ave on the driveway side, and they have ample space for various trucks, and even I think the dumpster can fit on the actual site. So, all of the work is going to happen internal to the site. So there really should be nothing affecting traffic patterns or anything like that. It should all be internal and really not visible. Okay. Phase one, the reason why phase one, in my understanding, is they like to extend their kitchen so they can live a little bit more. Same thing with the master, it's efficient to go above. No point in building a story structure and another two roofs. Because due to, I think, cost concerns and things like that, we prioritize that.
Yeah, so the second phase of the project, it's primarily due to cost concerns, but also there's also the habitability concerns. We're going to be living in the home while it's being constructed, so we're either in between the two phases trying to be appropriate. I don't anticipate it being more than, say, a year.
Can I ask a question? Has drainage been addressed in this new design?
So drainage has not been specifically addressed in this design. It will be, we will intend to meet all standards. The site is relatively flat.
Yeah, but it's still on a slight slope.
A slight slope, correct. We'll be expanding on the right-hand side, so we anticipate the drainage to be similar as you go. That's on the left side of the screen, right? So the drainage is always going to slope away from the building slightly so that water doesn't go in it. But it'll be a similar slope to as it is now.
But it wouldn't impact neighbors?
Of course not, no.
Just, okay.
Yes, yes.
Doug, do you want to jump in here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let's start with the building height. Can you provide some information on the existing and proposed height?
So there's going to be no change in the building height. So that's our proposal, is to match the existing building height. We don't have a toe bone. It's quite difficult to get to the roof. I have it around 27, 28 feet above approximate grade.
Okay. You drew those architecturals? They're right to scale?
Right.
Okay, because I see some vertical dimensioning on the first two floors, not to the roof peak. But it's your testimony that you're below the 35-foot max?
Correct.
And you're gonna match the second-story addition in the rear is going to match the existing height?
Correct. So the ridge will continue at the same elevation.
If I can interject here, if you carry this over to the front of the house, there is a... with the proper dormer term, there's a dormer in the front of the house that precisely matches the back. So from an aesthetic standpoint, you'll see the same follow through in front of the house and the back of the house.
Thank you. That's a good point. So that front forward dormer, What's up there? I see a window in the front. Is it a biddable space?
I mean, it's mostly storage. There, I mean, at some point, I believe the previous owners did use it for some type of habitable space. I'm not really precisely sure what that was for, but it's primarily attic space. There is some mechanicals up there.
Is the home currently single family use?
Yes.
And proposed to remain?
Yes.
The detached garage, what's the use?
For cars.
No habitable space? Talked about the phasing. So stormwater runoff, could you just go over the gutter system one more time? Are there going to be gutters?
Yes.
Okay. So the addition to the rear, the two-story addition in the rear, how will that be guttered and discharged? Is it going to land in the center of the property, or are you bringing it out to the property lines?
So the two-story addition would land approximately center of the center of the site after it comes down on both sides, which is basically what happens now. It's just going to get pushed back a little bit. And then the gutter system that would happen on the single story would also get pushed back way. So that's the south story, which is what happens basically right now.
Because I see you're pushing out that single story addition and the patio as well. So the water at the base of the two story rear addition, how is that going to make its way around?
Around to the front?
Off-site and not impact the adjacent residents.
I don't have an exact solution for that right now, and I haven't studied exactly what it does. I know that there are leaves that come down the rear and they push the water in back.
Right. It currently, there's no ponding, there's no standing water. Even in large rains, it dissipates into the yard, and I don't anticipate it will do anything differently with the addition.
And if the board approves the application, would you be willing to provide some additional detail on the grading for this? We would need a grading plan prior to any construction.
Sure.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, for the board, I just want to note in our report, page 2, building coverage with the proposed phase 1 and phase 2 additions, the building coverage itself remains compliant with the code for this zone, 25% max is permitted. With the additions, it's going up to just under 22%. And with overall lot impervious coverage, the site still complies overall. 50% is permitted and 37.6 appears to be proposed. Basement. Is there a basement or cellar at the property now?
There is a basement. It's not available. It's very rough. It's what you expect from a 150-year-old basement. Stone foundation, an uneven floor, semi-finished. Let me back that up again. A semi-concrete floor. There is some dirt patches to it.
Approximate vertical height in there?
In between beams, we're probably at right around 6 foot. Where the beams are, they're actually some pretty substantial beams. So that eliminates about at least another foot and a half in those spots.
The beams are flanking the stairs as you go down, so you have to duck under them. Those are major beams. I've actually never seen wood beams because they pulled the house up the hill with forces. And so they left the beams in place. And it's just probably infeasible to actually move them out.
It would not be usable space at any point in the future.
The proposed additions, you talk about their foundations, is it going to be an extension to the cellar or basement component?
It's going to be a crawl space. So the true purpose of it is just to get your building infrastructure out of there, plumbing, piping, and access that, granted there were any leaks and stuff like that, as opposed to extending a cellar or anything like that, or even doing a slab on grade, which has some energy efficiency concerns as well as access concerns for maintenance.
So you're matching finished floors?
Matching finished floors on the first floor, and then the second floor master actually steps up, I believe, one or two steps to gain ceiling height. He has some low ceiling heights in his existing kitchen. And so as we are trying to extend the back, we're trying to make it a little bit more modern day living. It's definitely under 8 feet right now. I think it's around 7'6".
Yeah, I think it might be closer to 7.
Yeah.
It's a very choppy floor plan as it is now. There are various step up and step downs throughout the entire house. And this will mostly alleviate that in the main living space.
And then, could you just confirm the existing and proposed bedrooms? Number of bedrooms.
Sure. Is it three?
Four. So, existing bedrooms right now are four. That is not going to change. We're simply going to take the room that serves as a primary now, incorporate it into the proposed master suite. Most likely closet space or dressing room type of situation, but we do not anticipate increasing any type of bedroom or adding closets to additional rooms.
So off-street parking, do you have an estimate on how many cars you can accommodate off-street?
Most we had in there, I think, was 11.
Two in the garage?
No, it doesn't count two in the garage, yeah. So
with regards to the front porch, are there any plans to make any modifications to that roof or enclose the front porch area?
No.
Air conditioning units. Are there any now or are there any proposed?
There are two. I believe the plans call them to be moved to the eastern side.
No, the compressors and the
compressors, yes.
Correct.
The canopy is internal.
So that is over the side yard setback line. It's actually between a fence that exists right now. You'll see an equipment pad shown on A1 on the right hand side, just where kind of the bump out is, the short bump out on the right, which takes you about 6 feet. So it kind of gets nestled in back there. It won't be visible from the street. There's a fence there.
So I wanted to just clarify for the record, this is a corner lot, correct? So I received a correspondence following our one of our technical reviews discussing the orientation of the house and how it fronts on Second. But just for everybody's clarification on corner lots, front yard setbacks apply on both sides fronting a public right of way. So the AC unit is proposed to be
correct
on the in the within the front yard
of Mount
of East Mount. That touches on most of my comments at this point, with the exception of the D variance. Are you going to provide testimony in support of the FAR variance?
Sure. So in terms of creating an improved property here and livable space for them, we need to increase the square footage. And so the D variance is being triggered by approximately 6% overage. We're about 0.4 FAR, 40%, and we're looking for 0.46. And so we're trying to gain more livable space for the family without doing any major intervention to the existing structure, which is a sizable structure, but very choppy and very compartmentalized, as typical historical homes are. Additionally, there are some concerns about doing structural changes to the home as is. Things would move, there would be contingency issues. And he's actually done a study years ago about the history of the house because of the interest behind it, and he really liked to keep the home as intact as possible. With being able to also live in a modern sense.
Correct. We're very mindful of the history behind the house, and in case anybody here isn't aware of that, is Thomas Leonard House. It's the oldest house in town. And we really do not want to change the structure itself as much as possible. We would like to have that modern look. So yeah, we are very cognizant of that. I'd like to assure the board that we don't want to make any major structural changes to it.
Doug, is that all you have?
At this point, thank you.
Any questions from the board? I have one. Is the home part of a national register or any type of?
It is not.
It is not.
I believe it's eligible, but we'll be elected.
Gotcha. Doug, do we have anybody on Zoom?
We have one attendee, no hands raised at this point.
Okay.
I do have a question, actually. Sorry. Where is the AC unit currently? I know where it's proposed to be.
It's basically where the one-story structure extension exists from. We're proposing. That's
okay.
Where it is.
Okay. Thank you.
It's only going to move to a few feet over.
And then they're going to be moved over, I believe, over here.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Aside from the wall and the hedge that is along the mount, are there any plans to enclose that AC unit at all, or just have it there and you feel that that what is there is enough?
Yeah, there won't be any visual impact from that at all. If you're walking down East Mountain, you won't see it. If that turns out not to be the case, we have to move some plants or we have to use a fence line at some point. I don't have a problem covering it up.
Anybody else on the board have a question before we take it to the public?
Just so I understand, you were saying that these, I think the bedroom, the two story is going to be phase one?
Correct.
And then the other one will be phase two?
Correct.
But you're applying for the whole thing?
Yes. You want it to be comprehensive.
Right.
Correct.
Gotcha.
And also, I believe the contractor wanted it that way so that we can make the structural improvements to the foundation and just incorporate the second part of the play into it. We're not going to do major structural changes after that.
And I know that Mr. Romar requested a grading plan, and I would agree with that. But would you consider including interventions for runoff to catch that, like a French drain or a swale or something like that?
Yeah, there's a lot of solutions in the GMP manuals that we can follow. We've designed catch basins, rain gardens, various things like that. So based on the rainfall calc and grading plan, we can tie those together, and I'm sure you'd be happy to entertain any ways to mitigate water runoff.
Yep.
Do we have any questions from the public? Yes.
Sarah Colberto, 20 Thailand Avenue. I just wanted to make sure I understood correctly. Will the AC unit is the proposed location on East Mount or just towards East Mount?
I would say towards East Mount would be a better description.
It's still on the back.
You can bring it up. It's on the back of the house. It's currently on the back of the house. We're moving a little bit of bounce. Would you say that's about 15 feet?
So I would say it's between the house and East Mountain. So where the AC is directly adjacent to the wall, which is based on East Mount, that's East Mount fronting. And then there's a fence between East Mount that exists in the back of the and A1. So we could consider that it is a bit further and it becomes a bit of a sore when you're coming up the driveway. We could entertain perhaps screening to your point and put it over there. But this side over here is really a side that's underutilized on the site perspective. It's not something that they anticipate using or really using at all. There's a fence there, there's not a lot of space. The compressor is very utilitarian. So we're really trying to hide it from a fall perspective as best as possible. We were putting on the driveway side, now it becomes kind of an element that's integrated, that you have to move around, that you have to care for a little bit more.
And also to that point, leaving on the eastern outside, there is no direct neighbor there. I understand there's people across the street. If they move it to the other side of the house, it won't have any neighbors right here. So I think this is probably, you know, never the best case, but the best in situations.
Do we have any other questions from the public?
We have no questions, but we have some comments.
All right. Well, we'll get to the comments in just a moment. Thank you. From the board, any other questions?
Can you describe that fence that's along East Mount again? The height of it and the capacity?
Sure. So there's a 3-foot picket fence which is covered by vines and bushes, and then behind that there's a, if memory serves me correct, I believe that's 3-foot as well, chain of fence, but there's very little visual between the fence line and the backyard.
Thanks. Just one more question for you. The single-story addition, that's not going to be accessible in the form of a elevated rooftop deck, correct?
No.
No plan?
No
accessible.
There's no view in the house, so that's fine. We're happy with that.
The reason it's bought is to allow for light and air into those upper floors without disturbing them. And then we tried to take a nice material rather than fiberglass or something like that with a metal standing seam roof that we felt was somewhat complementary.
And then can you just confirm the proposed setback from the front lot line on Mount Ave to the proposed addition?
I don't have it offhand here, but I believe it's around 6 feet, which you guys diligently I can confirm it for you and follow up.
Okay. Yep. For everybody's record, it was scaled off the submitted application. It just wasn't mentioned. 6 feet, where 20 feet is required for a front yard setback for a principal structure. And accessory structures such as the air conditioning units, there's two, correct? Are not permitted in a front yard.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, we will open up for comments now.
That's in South Charles, 159 Third Avenue.
And sir, just identify yourself for the record, please. Identify yourself for the record.
Stephen Lamar, I represent just have some comments generally about the project. First, we believe that two phases should be approved, maybe one phase at a time, see what the impact is of the first phase on things. With that being said, though, our main objection is that the property condition itself, my client's property, Hosta Rita, there's currently two separate fences. All it does is promote excessive media. My client would like to replace that fence with a higher fence, especially while this construction project is going on. He'd like to look at us in the East Powerful Map and he's willing to even pay for a higher fence on that rear property. It's a good fence, it's a good neighbor, so we're going to find out and pay for it. So with that being said, also, the other issues that we have, just the general condition of this property. In the back, there's a large tree that is dead at the top, probably 40%, 30%, I don't know how much is dead, but the entire top, really the whole tree needs to go. It's a huge tree. They're building a new construction project. We consider it a danger to anyone that comes near. I don't know why they would keep this tree when they're going to build and spend all this money on the house. The other issue is the general condition of the property. It's not surrounded by a hedge. A hedge would be a generous term. This is basically a pile of weeds about this high that surrounds the property. And it's been that way for almost, all I know is the last 20 years. But it's been that way for 20 years on the east and south side. Where's the landscaping plan? Beautiful architectural drawing. I wish it looked like that. If you want to know what really, if you really want to know what it looks like, take a ride past it. You have, what, a million mile leads, if that's what they call it? That's what the hedge is doing. It goes into my client's yard, it goes up to the east and south side. It's an eyesore, it's a maintenance issue. That's been out there for years. That needs to be phase one. There's going to be a phase one. Let's clean all that up. Let's grade the land completely down bare earth and put a good fence around the whole thing before we start improving it for the new kitchen. The aspect of the safety with this tree needs to be addressed. I can present this photo if anyone would like to see it.
Yes, you want to go on to that as a...
Sure. We just need to have somebody identify it as
being accurate. Yeah, I'm going to object to this because as far as I know, Mr. Lombardi is not a tree specialist. And in fact, the tree specialist was at the property this morning. I'd be happy to show the results.
Well, let's first see if we can identify this. Who took the photograph? When was it taken? Is it accurately?
So I think it was taken in late April. My client's got a best.
Mr. Charles, can I just swear you went to identify this? Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding will be the truth, all truth, and nothing but the truth? And is the photograph you've been handed, is that a photograph that you took yourself? And when did you take it?
April 24th.
Of this year?
Yes.
And does it accurately reflect what you saw that day?
It's grown out a little in the later spring, but the branches at the top of the tree are still dead.
Right, that's, it's going to give it a marking of 01 and test it to the board.
I have a photo of the rear of the yard, too, which you can see the excessive leaves that go on the fence.
And Mr. Childs is saying this is a photograph that you took yourself?
Yes.
Was it taken at the same time as the last one? And does it accurately reflect what the condition was at the time you took the photograph? It's going to be 02.
Just point out to the board that is a picture of his backyard, not mine.
You're going to get these photographs and be able to respond, sir.
Thank you.
This is a photo of the double fence. Most of the weed grow between them. Really, we just ask that any condition of variance being allowed, the maintenance of the property should be addressed. It's been an eyesore on the town for years. Not only the Russians, I know it goes back many, many years. Many of you have been in town longer than I have, I'm sure. I also live in this town. But it's been an eyesore. It should be addressed as a primary thing, not just build a kitchen. So we
request that any condition of any variance, all of these properties should be addressed. And we'd like to start with a fence. Let me just ask a quick question. Has your client gone to the borough about these issues? Because these issues seem to be separate from the application.
I don't know if he's made any direct complaints to the ordinance enforcement official in this town, but it's certainly something that is readily noticeable.
Doug, would you give those photographs to the applicant? Give the two photographs to the applicant so that they can review them, and then if they want to respond or comment, they will have the opportunity to do so.
Do you have any other comments from the public? Yes.
I have to totally disagree because the leaves are actually...
Ms. Walker, at this point, I have to swear you in order for your testimony to be valid. Do you either swear or affirm that any testimony you give in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth?
Absolutely, yes.
And you already stated your name and address, so please go ahead.
I live at 52nd Avenue, Book
on my yard all the time, as do both of my neighbors. They are out there repeatedly throughout the week taking care of their yard. They're fastidious owners regarding their landscaping. So I do not agree at all with that. Please walk with me now and take a look and see if you think that it's a yard weeds. It is not. As far as their addition, I've seen the plans. They're beautiful. They work very hard on their property. And as far as I'm concerned, it would be an asset, as it was for my neighbor on the other side, to build a house with an addition that went three stories up, with a patio in the back. Also, went out to the back, completely changed the look of the house. From the historic house it was, completely different look there. I ask you to look at that before you make your decision. Has this not been a good plan? Because it's a very good plan, and the yard is lovely.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Sarah, I'll turn around 20.
Mr. Stein, just
yes, do either swear or affirm that any testimony given in connection with this proceeding would be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I think that the plan looks beautiful. I think it looks like it's really going to fit in with the existing house in a really nice way. I really like that the house is close to East Mount, actually. I think it's a really unique aspect of our historic town. If you have a problem with it, going on that side, because you know we only have a 3 foot setback there, and that leaves you really kind of only 3 feet from the sidewalk there. And if anyone's ever kind of had a nice stroll through Atlantic Highlands, it comes upon or any town, it comes upon an AC unit, loud and kind of jerks you out of your nice mood. It kind of feels like a utilitarian thing that would be better fitting on a driveway side, which the driveway is also kind of utilitarian. And to say that it's like an underutilized side of the house, it might be underutilized by the owner, but for the people who walk by there, it's one of our nicest streets. And so I think it has a view shed and just a nice place to walk. I think it is sort of utilized by kind of everyone in town. So I would just ask to further consider putting that in a location where it's not going to be disruptive to people trying to enjoy the street and get there.
Okay. Any other comments from the public? One last check on Zoom there, Doug.
Nope, no hands raised.
Right. Thanks very much. Yes. Mr. Stavros, where is he?
He's been sworn.
Oh, yeah,
Mr. Charles. Charles.
I don't have a comment so much as a question about the phases. The main issue for me is I don't want to be living in a construction zone for a long period of time. I don't know exactly what the phase process is. I heard that it was a 12-month. I couldn't understand exactly what the timeline was for the phasing. So, I just hope that it's not an extended construction project. And I just also want to clarify with regard to the fence. This is just essentially a privacy issue for me. I am prepared to pay for a new fence that is consistent with the fence that we have with our neighbors to the north. I think it would look nice. I have to say with regard to the tree that I'd be interested to hear what the tree expert said. When branches do fall off whenever blows, and it looks to me to be a risk to my family and my property. So I hope that I can work with the Rushes to address that. And we have had tree trimmers in the past go up and take off that branches, but now it's starting to get a little more severe. And finally, I would just say that I have reached out to the Rushes to discuss these issues. I haven't gone to the town. That's not what I wanted to do. I would like to work these matters out with my neighbor. But there is a history here, and it has been challenging. In fact, I will just say that I had a fence in my yard, which is a chain link fence. He put the other fence up next to it, and even more growth was happening between the fences. Then he sued me for removing my chain link fence, and so that's why there's such a tension over this issue. Now the neighbor has three fences. They have a fence, there's a chain link fence that's possibly mine, possibly his, theirs, and then another wood fence there. I have a picture of that too, but the bamboo is growing between those three fences, and you know, it comes up in our yards, and you know, it's just not clean. There are stray cats living back there. It's a little bit of a hazard, so I just want to clean that up. I actually like the design of the you know, the addition. I would just point out that, you know, with regard to privacy, that tree may not be that long for this world. So if we have a good fence, then, you know, that helps to minimize the issues. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so there's a number of points were brought up there in comments. Would you like to address them now?
I would. First of all, I'd like to offer a letter that I sent to Mr. Childs addressing his exact concerns. So I am very cognizant of issues with this tree. And a tree expert was out there this morning, and he did review it. Thank you. And he said it was about 5% dead, otherwise very healthy. You'll be out next Thursday to trim that tree and take all the dead branches off. I just need my neighbor's permission to get onto his property to do so, and he hasn't given that to me yet. So that'll take care of that issue. As far as the fencing go, to say that there's a history between us is probably a severe understatement, and it is a lot more than just a chain link fence. But I don't think that's relevant or pertinent to this hearing. So I don't know why it was brought up. But to address any concerns about a fence, you'll see in the letter, I told them I'm happy to have those discussions. I did not foreclose the idea of putting up a new fence, even though I just put one up myself. I'm happy to talk about it. I just didn't think it was appropriate to enter into what almost would be a quid pro quo with one neighbor while the neighbors weren't cognizant of that deal. And I think it would be a terrible precedent to start making concessions to one neighbor about a fence, which has nothing to do with the variance proposal. I mean, I don't take the advisement about the air conditioning units. I think that was well stated, and after listening, I think
we agree we should shift it to the garage. I see there's a little spot on the side over there, and if we put a nice little shrubbery around there or fencing, I think it would improve the character overall. I think you're very great point where you walk down the sidewalk, it doesn't blast on. You certainly can't see it ever. If a fence comes or goes later, it's no point.
Right. So it is something that I hadn't thought about. I'm glad it was brought up, and maybe we'll think differently. We'll come to a better resolution for the police. Again, as for the other issues that were brought up here, not being relevant or pertinent to this discussion, I will be happy to speak to my neighbor about it and be a good neighbor that I think I've always been to most of my neighbors.
Okay. Yeah, because you have a corner lot, you do have it's frontage on both sides. So, and I walk past your house every day. I have a dog, like literally on a daily basis. So I can envision where the AC units would be, and it would be pretty much blind. That said, it's still, even though aesthetically it is, like, you wouldn't mistake it for anything but a side yard, but technically it is a front yard.
Right.
You know.
And the ordinance is.
So I think that would be a great idea. You know, I think it would be a great idea for a number of reasons, and I'm glad Ms. Colasaro brought it up. Yeah.
Yeah, I think had I walked on that side of the yard and heard the air conditioning, I might be a little bit dirt too. So yeah. That's good. Yeah. That's a good thought.
All right. For discussion. I didn't mean to look at you to start time.
Alphabetical. You know, still an over the fence issue that we have all back and forth with the neighbor. Seems to be like a code issue, you know, for the borough. And although there wasn't a complaint filed, you know, that's something that we're not here to, unfortunately, we're not here to hear about whether the fence is going to be redone or not, or, you know, whether it's, you know, about weeds growing through it. That's not really our job here. So, you know, that's my feeling on that, unfortunately, for, you know. But, you know, that's all I have to say. I mean, I think it's a good addition to the home. I like the idea that he's trying to keep, that they're trying to keep the home somewhat historic and keep the historic integrity of the house intact.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good application. I like the idea of moving the air conditioners. It's a great idea to get those over there. So that's what I have to say about
that. Yeah, I would agree with all of that. As important as fences, tree help, and maintenance is, it doesn't have anything to do with this application at all. You know, I do think that the air conditioner can't be on that side for a number of reasons, as we've already discussed. And also, I feel better knowing about the proposed grading changes. You know, I'd like to see a grading changes and whatever sort of mitigation, you know, as also we've already discussed.
Yep, I agree. As long as the drainage is addressed accordingly, I think it's a application's fine.
Yeah, I think it's worth noting that this is a historically significant house, you know, and it's, you know, in my view, it's important to the town, and I've never been inside your home, but I've been in a lot of older homes, and you're right, it's when it was society was completely different when these homes were built. You know, I bring my wife, you know, when we were looking at homes, we'd go into an old home, she'd take one look at the closet and we're, there's no way, you know.
I have an ironing board in my kitchen.
So the idea that you can maintain the general integrity of the home while making it livable in today's day and age, I think that, you know, to me, that's positive. The one sticking point to me was the AC units, and that seems to be resolved.
The AC units are being proposed to be relocated to the north side of the structure.
Correct.
In a conforming location, correct? More than 20 feet off the front lot line.
Yeah, I specifically addressed it, but I'm thinking it's going to go right next to the entryway, and we'll perhaps put a screening element around it. Is that okay with you?
Yeah.
That's okay if I share that. And then we would put some sort of shrubbery and screening element around it. I don't think anybody really wants to see or hear it.
Yeah.
I think that's fair, right?
We have existing shrubbery on that side of the driveway anyway, so we can just incorporate more into that to
perfect. Blend it out. So it'll blend in.
Sure.
It'll be conforming. That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Okay. In terms of the phase one, phase two, is that just simply additional information that we received that doesn't really change the application in terms of?
I mean, the construction. No, I mean, the
reason that
they're showing it.
So far, I went over the reason that they're doing it phases. It seems, yeah, pretty practical.
And they're maintaining most of the vehicles in their own capacity, so there's no impact to Second or East Mount.
Yeah, I mean, if they did not have that driveway, we would run into an issue because there is no parking on mm-hmm. that side of Mount. But, you know, they do have the wraparound driveway. There is some limited, but a little bit of parking in front, so.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of comments that have been made. And regarding the variances required,
you know, the east mount setback is not changing at all, not increasing the efficiency there. And the foyer ratio is minimal increase. It's really negative, you know, not much impact there at all. So, yeah, from the variance standpoint, I don't think really issues that should affect it.
Mm-hmm. Well, would somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve.
And Mr. Chairman, I assume that the conditions will be providing a detailed grading plan to satisfy the board engineer, confirming no adverse runoff impacts on adjacent properties, also relocating the air conditioning to the driveway side, north side of the property, with conforming setbacks with shrub and screening, no rooftop deck, and I think that's all that I have.
That's what my motion to approve includes.
I'll second that, Susala.
Okay, we have Mr. Jasko?
Yes.
Mr. Kropinski?
Yes.
Ms. Majewski?
Yes.
Dr. Susala?
Yes.
Ms. Walford?
Yes.
Vice Chair Neff?
Yes.
And Chair Goldrich?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Jerry.
Next, Jasko.
Neff and Jasko. The motion to adjourn.
Jeff and Jasko. Thank you.
All in favor?
Good line. Moving adjourn at 8:33. Thank you, everyone.